sunshine on Sunday. Right now we're at 33, wind chill at 25, ESPN Radio 93.5, and sunny 95.3.
And where else could you hear Mike Ditka on the radio locally?
It's canceled in Chicago and St. Louis today, with Kansas City's airport now back open with limited service. On the bright side, the region had been going through a drought, and the snow could help.
All right,
Fox News, we report, you decide.
Last hour, I talked to Mike Ditka and brother Johnny. I asked him about the Academy Awards. Awards night, Sunday night, you going to watch?
You got to be kidding.
That's Mike Ditka yesterday. Last hour, rather, about the show on Sunday. Yeah, it's classic. The awards night, Sunday night, you going to watch?
You got to be kidding.
Yeah, 8:32, it's Bill Melber coming up next.
O'Brien Auto Park of Urbana, I-74 and Cunningham Avenue, is the sponsor of ESPN Radio's What's Up With That segment. O'Brien Auto Park is downstate Illinois' number one volume dealer, with over 2,000 new and certified pre-owned vehicles in stock. Facebook is one step closer to taking over your life. The social networking site is launching a classified ad service that will rival others in the business. What's up with that? I'm Ryan Monahan. Facebook's new major venture will allow for classified ads, job, and housing posts. Critics say it will rival Craigslist and the local newspaper. Both have taken the lead in classifieds and job postings for years. However, Facebook could change that with this new expansion of its services. The problem is, it will be one more move by Facebook to get into your business. Don't forget, Facebook owns the information you put on its site. That's why you don't have to pay to use the site. You pay Facebook by giving them access to your life. This new venture will allow Facebook to target certain needs you indicate on the site, then allow classified ads onto your account that may appeal to your interests. What's up with that? I'm Ryan Monahan. That's my take. Post yours on ESPNCU.com.
It happens every year. Millions of New Year's resolutions. Debt reduction, weight reduction, but only one reduction will last all year. The payment reduction. Going on now at the O'Brien Auto Park. Reduce your monthly car payment and fatten your wallet with a new O'Brien Hyundai, Kia, or Toyota from just $149 a month. Or save on Hyundai with up to $10,000 in discounts. Every 2013 Hyundai is available with zero down, zero security deposit, zero first month payment. Get Kia, Sorrentos, Optimus, and Souls from $13,995. Or watch your monthly payment drop with 0% financing on new Kias and Toyotas. Don't miss payments from $149 a month or discounts up to $10,000 during the payment reduction event.
You sure you should be buying from O'Brien? You sure you should be buying from O'Brien?
I-74 in Cunningham, Urbana. 2013 Rio X, 72 months at 2.99% APR. With $5,000 down plus tax, that title 164 with a blue credit. Some may not qualify. Discounts off MSRP. Hyundai Equus, 36-month lease, 12K miles. Limited term financing, all factory rebates and incentives to dealer. Offers do not convert.
This What's Up With That segment was brought to you by O'Brien Auto Park of Urbana. O'Brien Auto Park is your regional buying destination with Toyota, Scion, Hyundai, Kia, Mazda, Mitsubishi, Volkswagen, and over 300 certified pre-owned vehicles.
Here's your ESPN 93.5, the new sunny 95.3 three-day forecast from the National Weather Service.
I'm feeling like we dodged a bullet. I mean, mild conditions compared to what some of the other parts of the nation are suffering from. We've got a temperature of 33 and foggy with the wind chill at 24. Today's high 36. Chance of wintry conditions into the morning at 20% now. Clouds in a low 21 tonight. Up to around the freezing point tomorrow. Partly cloudy down to 19 Saturday night. Sunshine expected Sunday with a high near 40. All this stuff could melt.
Yeah.
Right now, 33. ESPN Radio 93.5 and sunny 95.3.
Yep. Music starts after 9 on the new sunny soft rock favorites from then and now. And, of course, we continue with ESPN on 93.5. Because we built a new tower, 93.5 stands alone. We have a new format, music format, soft rock. A whole bunch of great soft rock favorites from then and now, about a half hour away. All right, ladies and gentlemen, he is the star of An Evening with the Presidents. One of the best political humorists in the world. You can find him at aneveningwiththepresidents.com. It's our friend Bill Melberg in snowy Chicago. How are you, Bill?
I'm fine. Hello, Stevie. Hello, Diane.
Hello.
And as always, good morning, ESPN radio listeners.
Bill, do you know whose birthday we're celebrating this morning?
Well, as a matter of fact, yes, I do, Stevie and Diane. Today we're celebrating the birthday of George Washington, America's first president, who, had he lived just a little longer, would have been 281 years old today. Seriously, as you know, we celebrated President's Day on Monday, and I might add that four of America's 44 presidents were born in February. George Washington, William Henry Harrison, Abraham Lincoln, and Ronald Reagan.
Yes, and four former presidents will be joining us in just a moment to talk about their predecessors. But first, the 44th president of the United States, Barack Obama, is joining us once again. Good morning, Mr. President.
Good morning, Stevie. And Diane.
Morning.
It's my pleasure to be with you once again.
And it's our pleasure to have you here. Mr. President, before we talk about President's Day, with your immediate predecessors, I'd like to ask you about sequestration, sir. What's the latest budget crisis all about?
Stevie and Diane, sequestration is what will happen automatically if the Republicans don't come to their senses in the House and the Senate. It will generate automatic across-the-board budget cuts for the U.S. government. And here's what will happen if that occurs. Tens of thousands of firefighters, police officers, and emergency workers will lose their jobs. Hundreds of thousands of teachers, counselors, food inspectors, doctors, nurses, and daycare workers will lose their jobs. Millions of children will be starved to death because their school breakfast, lunch, and dinner programs won't be fully funded. Tens of millions of senior citizens won't be getting medical care. People will be kicked out of nursing homes.
What?
Airlines will be shut down because TSA workers and air traffic controllers will all be fired. Trains will stop running because Amtrak won't be funded. The Pentagon will be shut down.
What?
Restaurants won't have food. The national parks will be closed. The animals will all die.
What?
The lakes and rivers will become polluted. The seas will rise. The air will disappear. Asteroids will destroy our cities because NASA won't be able to see them coming. In short, it will be the end of civilization as we know it, all because of greedy, evil Republicans.
Mr. President, first of all, firefighters, police officers, emergency workers, and teachers, they're all paid by local governments, not the federal government. Secondly, people all across the country have been tightening their belts during the past 4 years. Thousands of businesses have downsized. Millions of people have lost their jobs in the private sector. Why shouldn't government do the same in these tough economic times? And surely you can find some non-essential government workers who you can lay off before you furlough some of the more essential people. There must be some federal employees we can live without, sir.
You mean like Joe Biden?
Exactly.
Stevie, you might have a point there.
Mr. President, here's another point. Sequestration was your idea. It's what your administration proposed and Congress passed as part of the Budget Control Act of 2011, and you signed it into law, sir. Finally, all of this is happening because Harry Reid and his fellow Democrats in the Senate have not passed a budget since you became president over 4 years ago. Any comment?
Stevie and Diane, I have just one comment. And here it is. The only reason that we're facing this crisis is one simple fact. The only people Republicans care about are millionaires and billionaires. Let me repeat that. The only people Republicans care about are millionaires and billionaires. Let me say that again. The only people Republicans care about are millionaires and billionaires. Now repeat after me. The only people Republicans care about are millionaires and billionaires.
Okay.
One more time. The only people Republicans care about are millionaires and billionaires.
Mr. President, you have said that over and over again, and if you don't mind me saying so, some people are starting to get the impression that you're just like the boy who cried wolf. Well, let's put politics aside for the moment and turn our focus to history. As we bring in our other guests to talk about President's Day and the presidents, joining us now, former presidents Jimmy Carter, George H.W. Bush, Bill Clinton, and George W. Bush. And gentlemen, I'd like for each of you to name your favorite president or presidents. One stipulation, they cannot be any of the presidents on Mount Rushmore, which means you cannot name Washington, Jefferson, Lincoln, or Teddy Roosevelt. So let's start with Jimmy Carter. Mr. President, who are your favorite presidents and why?
Hi, Stevie. Hi, Diane.
Hello.
Stevie, my favorite, my first favorite president is James Buchanan.
Huh?
Now, most liberal historians put him at the top of the list of America's worst presidents. And as long as James Buchanan is number one, I'll be number two.
And if you use the conservative historian's list of worst presidents, you're number three, with you-know-who being number one. But I'm sorry, I interrupted.
That's all right, Stevie, but I did just want to add that my other favorite president is Gerald Ford, because Gerald Ford pardoned Richard Nixon, and that's why I got elected president when I ran against Gerald Ford in 1976.
Next, we turn to former president George Herbert Walker Bush, 41. Mr. President, let me begin by saying how happy we are that you're finally released from the hospital a few weeks ago, and I hope you're feeling better, sir.
Thank you very much, Stevie and Diane. Appreciate those kind words very much. And let me just say, I am feeling better. I'm especially pleased to have gotten out of the hospital before all of those budget cuts that President Obama talked about a moment ago, before I got kicked out of the hospital, and before Obamacare fully kicks in.
And getting back to our question of the day, sir, who was your favorite president or presidents, and why?
Well, Stevie and Diane, first of all, I greatly admire President Ronald Reagan. Why? Because he had the good sense to make me his vice president. But I also admire very much Martin Van Buren.
Martin Van Buren?
Yep, Martin Van Buren. Why? Because prior to yours truly in 1988... Martin Van Buren was the last vice president to succeed a president through an election rather than through the death of his predecessor. Now, that was in 1836, 152 years before I was elected president at the end of Ronald Reagan's second term. And by the way, like me, Martin Van Buren lost his bid for re-election 4 years later. I guess the old adage is true. History repeats itself.
Well, speaking of history, let us turn now to former President Bill Clinton to find out something about his favorite president or presidents. Good morning, President Clinton.
Good morning. Thank you, Stevie. And hello, Diane.
Hi.
Right. President Clinton, how about your favorite president, sir?
Well, Stevie, you know, I was going to say my favorite president was Thomas Jefferson. After all, my middle name is Jefferson, William Jefferson Clinton.
Right.
But you said we can't name anyone on Mount Rushmore.
Right, that's
so
correct.
My next favorite president is Johnson.
Lyndon Johnson?
No, Andrew Johnson. Because like me, Andrew Johnson was impeached on trumped-up charges, and like me, the Senate failed to convict him. Ironically, Andrew Johnson was elected to the Senate just a few years later. Of course, my real favorite president hasn't been elected yet.
Hasn't been elected yet?
That's right. I'm referring to the 45th president of the United States, Hillary Rodham Clinton.
Well, let's stay focused on the past. And I turn to former President George W. Bush with the question, who is your favorite president or presidents, President Bush?
Well, Stevie and Diane, first of all, let me say howdy to you and to our fine ESPN radio listeners.
Yes,
and secondly of all, I can tell you that I have three favorite presidents.
All right, so who are they?
Well, my number one favorite past president is number 41, my dad,
yeah.
George H.W. Bush. Guess that goes without saying. So let me tell you about my number two favorite past president, John Quincy Adams, or as his friends called him, Q. His dad was president, too. In fact, John Adams was our number two president right after Washington.
Yeah.
My third most favorite as president was Rutherford B. Hayes.
Rutherford B. Hayes?
That's right, Rutherford B. Hayes. B stood for Bush. Because like me, Hayes lost the popular vote and won the Electoral College. Hmm. And just like the 2000 election, the 1876 election was contested. Moreover, one of the contested states was Florida.
Wow. Did they have a problem with hanging chads?
Nope. But the election was finally decided by a commission that included the Supreme Court. And guess what? The justices gave Florida to Hayes, and Hayes won the election just like yours truly.
I'll be darned. Whatever happened to his opponent?
You mean the loser, Samuel Tilden?
Yes.
As I recall, he wrote a book about global cooling and was never heard from again.
Well, thank you, Mr. President, for your insights. When we come back, we'll turn to the loser of that 2000 presidential race, the former vice president, Al Gore, who will give us an update on our weather. Stay tuned to ESPN Radio on 93.5 and the new Sunny 95.3. We're back with former Vice President Al Gore and Mr. Vice President. That music here is a reminder that we've been having a cold, snowy winter this year, and we're not alone. Europe's been having a cold, snowy winter. Moscow has been having its coldest, snowiest winter in many years. They even had to snow it. Even had snow in Jerusalem a few weeks ago. Excuse me for asking, sir, but is this your idea of global warming?
Yes, it is, Stevie and Diane. As several scientists mentioned earlier in the week, thanks to global warming, we can expect more and more blizzards, more and more record snowstorms, and more cold winters.
I'm sorry, sir. I guess I just don't get it. How can global warming be causing blizzards, snowstorms, and Arctic cold blasts?
Well, Stevie, I wouldn't expect you to, quote, get it, because after all, you're not a Nobel Prize winner like me. But let me see if I can explain it to you in plain English. You see, global warming is causing the ice caps to melt, and as they melt, all that ice and snow and cold air has to go somewhere. So it slides down our way from the North Pole and gives us all this winter weather.
And all of this is caused by people driving SUVs?
That's right. People driving SUVs plus cow flatulence.
Well, there you have it. Al Gore's explanation of how global warming is giving us ice and snow and cold. Meanwhile, up in Chicago, our friend Bill Melberg.
Our friend Bill Melberg is predicting the King's Speech will win the Oscar.
All right.
That was like last year?
Oh, I don't know. I just picked it up at Blockbuster. Yeah. They're going out of business.
All right, you heard me. You heard me. You heard me talking about it. Hey, Bill, it's always a pleasure. Thank you, my friend.
Ask you well, I'll go a liner.
That's right. Bill Melberg, a U of I alum in Chicago, political humorist, satirist, and eveningwiththepresidents.com. Diane, have a great weekend.
Enjoy the weekend.
I'm Stevie J. Thank you for listening on ESPN 93.5 and the new Sunny 95.3. Great music continues on 95.3. The Herd next on ESPN. Have a great and safe weekend.